MojoBreak.com.
Pack rippers and sports nuts, welcome to the MojoBreak.com sports card podcast, episode 22. Like Emmett Smith, we're running the rock. It's been a little while, but we're here. I'm here with Dan. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
Good, good. What's up? I mean, we went to the Rams game. There was a tie. What else has been going on with you?
You know, just chilling, busting some packs, checking out the new 5-star that just came out. Pretty stoked on that.
Yeah, definitely. There's been a lot of anticipation on that. And what we're going to go over in this podcast is we're going to review 2012 baseball products. Now, I know there's a few more that are coming out at the end of the year, like Bowman Sterling, Bowman Draft. But we're going to kind of say the cheers and jeers, so to speak, of this year's crop of products. We're going to talk about recent releases, like you just said, 5-star, Cooperstown, Panini Signatures, Prime Signatures. And then we're going to go head to head with Topps versus Panini in football releases so far. So we're going to hit up on that as well and just, you know, shoot the mess like we normally do. So the site is mojobreak.com. We got breaks running all the time, single box, case breaks, whatever you want. There's something there for everybody. So check it out. But Black Friday's coming up. You excited for Black Friday? Are you going to get up out of bed at 2 a.m. and do some shopping?
Nope. Actually, you know what I may do? I may get up early and check out some blowout deals. I mean, it's going to start probably at like 3 o'clock my time, but, you know, I might check out what they got. I know last year it was pretty nuts.
Absolutely. And Blowout doesn't even pay us for advertising, and then we do a little plug like that. So, blowoutcards.com, they were just almost giving stuff away last year. I know they had so much traffic for Black Friday last year, their server almost crashed.
Yeah, weren't you on there? Weren't you trying to pick some stuff up?
I did, and it seemed like I missed out on everything I wanted. I mean, they literally put out, like, 2 boxes of something, and then boom, it's gone. Like, it's just, Wow. Yeah, it's like an insane, I mean, they're losing money on it, so.
Yeah, I'll try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go try to get the latest Disney characters, because I'm a Disney fan, at 2 a.m.
Nice.
But other than that, you know, at 3, I'll be right on blowout cards, so.
Yeah, you know, around 9 o'clock, since I work retail, you know, I'll be in the mess.
Yeah, I was thinking about going to Walmart and just pushing old ladies down so I can get the doorbusters.
Why not?
You know, I mean, that's, if there was ever a time to go and push people around during the holiday season, it's Black Friday.
Just get, you're gonna push people around to get your gravity feeder boxes.
Yeah, they're gonna go quick on Black Friday. Guarantee it. There's gonna be hotline around that, you know.
Absolutely.
So I'll be there, and I'm gonna, you know what I'm gonna do? I think I'm gonna wear my full football pads and helmet, so that, like, sweet, if anybody tries to push me around, I'm protected, you know.
Yeah, that's not weird at all.
Just run through the line like I'm Eric Dickerson.
ED.
You know? But speaking of Black Friday, why I parlayed into that is everybody's probably already heard about it, but Panini's doing the Black Friday packs again, which is exciting. Gives people a reason to go into the stores, local card stores, that is. You're not going to have them at Target. They'll have them at your local card store. Well, at least
No gravity feeder?
No Black Friday packs in gravity feeders.
Oh, that sucks.
You're going to have to change your plans now, unfortunately.
Damn.
But they had some sweet images of what's coming out. They got some definitely all the big names. They got some game use stuff, and it's going to be pretty collectible. Like last year when they had those pylons from the Super Bowl, they're going to do something similar to the Super Bowl from last year with the Giants. So it's going to be some pretty cool sought after stuff. And, you know, every card store will probably have a different requirement on how to get it, but definitely call up your local card store. I wish we could get some of those, but
yeah,
unfortunately,
generally it's like there's specific boxes that you can buy, and you get X amount of packs per box, right?
Correct.
That's how you buy into it. I guess it's up to the shop discretion on how they want to give them out. They just can't. Supposedly, they can't sell them.
Yeah, they can't sell them, but they can definitely, you know, dangle them as some carrots to buy.
Yeah, and they can give them to good customers and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that concerns me about those, and last year, I got my hands on some Father's Day packs. Is it does seem like you can tell which pack has the hit in it, or a jersey card, so to speak. So I don't know if they've changed that dynamic up. You know, if I was a shop owner, I would want to give those to my customers, but I do feel that there is some people that are going to take advantage of knowing that there's a hit in that pack and not give it out. or yeah. give it out to somebody that they know that's going to sell it or something like that. So let's, you know, hope that that doesn't happen, but it definitely is a possibility.
Do you want them to put dummies in their packs?
Well, that's kind of what I was beating around the bush. Yes.
So, wow.
You know, because they don't do that enough already, right?
Exactly. What product was it that we were opening that had literally a dummy in every? Was it? I know Platinum Baseball was kind of ridiculous. There's tons and tons.
I think it was Cooperstown. I mean Cooperstown.
Ah, oh, dude, don't hate it. I mean, it's not a breaker's dream by any means, but for a collector, it was kind of a unique set.
It was, and I'll give him credit. There was definitely some uniqueness to it. I think I was just more disappointed at the fact that it got pushed back for so long, and then that's what was in it. That's all. That's where my disappointment lies.
The auto selection checklist was fine. It was just the lack of autos that were in the product, or the lack of hits in general. I mean, those little like the bronze like plaques that they put in, those are more inserts than they are hits.
And they made it look, you know, and I haven't re-looked at the sell sheet since I busted the product, but they definitely made it look on the sell sheet that those were going to be hits. Like, I thought it was going to be like with Tops where you get the manufactured, you know, rings and the plates and stuff. I thought it was going to be along those lines, which is still not game used authentic, but it feels like it's something. It doesn't feel like it's just a base card with a number on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did do right with the Hall of Fame signatures. Those cards looked killer. There was one a box, so they were kind of rare. But I think that they definitely got the wheels rolling on a set that could be really sick. So maybe they put their heads together and there's some better 2013 Cooperstown. We'll see.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Five Star so far?
I mean, it's good. You know, I think it's kind of innovative because you know that, like, when you think of there's high-end football products out there with NT and Five Star and stuff like that. But when baseball, you only get, like, Triple Threads. Triple Threads is, like, the cream of the crop when it comes to high-end. So this actually was another high-end product that is something you don't see very often or you don't see at all. So I thought it was a great idea. The execution lacked a little bit. The value was, at least right now, the value's not there. The checklist is solid. I'm not a big fan of the jumbo relic. All the jumbo relics that we pulled, I know there's like multicolored ones in there, but all the ones that I've seen so far have been the single color, looked a lot like museum.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what they got complaints about with.
Or looked a lot like Marquee.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's like
museum collections.
Museum collection. It looked like the same thing. And it's just hard to justify spending $350 for a box when you're going to get probably $100, $120 return on your investment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few chase cards that you could obviously hit, and then there's, you know, the big-name rookies that they threw in there, like Darvish and Trout and Harper and Cespedes. That's what I do agree that they did well, is that they didn't throw in, maybe with the exception of you getting a Paul Goldschmidt auto or something like that, the auto checklist is not going to really, like, it's not going to be a scrub. It's going to be a decent guy, whether it be a retired, you know, Hall of Famer or a young guy or an all-star like Miguel Cabrera. The checklist is definitely not going to disappoint you, but it's for some reason, yeah, the cards are not really some of the, like we talked about it yesterday, there's just Cepedas are selling for like $15, $16. I mean, that's.
Well, I mean, like literally, I mean, if you were to, you can go out on eBay and buy like five hits, including a couple autos, and spend probably $100.
And get the same.
What and you get the got same. The yeah, what you got in a box. I mean, the book cards are amazing. Those have the really nice patches in them, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean it. It's a good thought. It's a good product. The price point is a little high, for what you get. That's my opinion. And the chipping is not something I'm really concerned with. When you have thick card stock, that is the nature of it.
Well, I actually
and when you have like full bleed, like no borders, I mean, you're gonna get shipping.
Well, and let's face it, I wrote a blog yesterday on our site. You know, I don't know how many people actually go to Tops and sign, like, you know, maybe some of the old timers go there, but you know, Trout and Harper, they probably got those things sent to them. Now, Tops probably took precautions in packaging them and getting them to them. But do you think Bryce Harper's holding it like it's a collectible when he's signing it? Maybe him, because he signed a lot of things. But I guarantee you a lot of these guys are like freaking eating their hot dogs and, you know, throwing them around with their kids. And they're not thinking about it like we would think about it.
Yeah, you got to figure. Like they don't really – I mean, yeah, you're dead on. I mean, I think we've talked about this already. Like a guy who's sitting here – playing baseball, playing football has other things that he's worried about. He's not necessarily worried about the collectability of a specific card that he's about ready to sign.
Well, yeah, and he's probably got, well, 5 stars a lower print run. You know, he's probably got 150, maybe 300 to sign. But he's probably signing like 30 at a time, and he's got to hit his muscle milk and go to the gym. You know what I mean? He's got stuff he's got to do.
Yep.
So, you know, he's got to, maybe he's a single guy. Maybe he's got to go parlay and find the next Miss Harper. Or something, you know. Cards are just, you know, such a small part. He's already got paid for it.
I go to Vegas and play a parlay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, why not?
Put money on, you know, something like the Niners. You know,
probably wouldn't do that, but whatever.
But you know, it definitely filled a void, like you talked about earlier when we first started talking about this. Is that there was a void on the high end? I mean, this Triple Threads retailed at $250, so there was that lack of $500. Product that other sports have. Every sport pretty much has it. Hockey has the cup and Dominion, and football has National Treasures 5-star. So they baseball.
Let's face it, with Triple Threads baseball, just in comparison, 5-star to Triple Threads baseball, you're going to get a better return on investment on Triple Threads.
Yeah.
Every box. I mean, and well, let's say 95 out of 100 boxes.
Yeah.
There's better. I mean, I know you're going to get some scrub autos and stuff like that, but you're paying what? Well, what's Triple Threads up to right now? Is you can get it for like two?
It's actually gone down on the wholesale front, so I would assume that
it's got to be.
It's probably 190-ish.
Yeah, it's got to be like $200. I mean, you'd almost get two boxes of Triple Threads for the price that you can get a 5-star.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, you could get like an Ike Davis or there's a few guys that are. Ike Davis isn't actually that bad, but there's a few guys that are worse in that set. Yeah, but they do seem to – what's weird about it, what I never got, and it goes back to the whole patch conversation that we've had in the past, is why does Triple Threads have more multicolor patches than 5-star? It doesn't – I mean, every patch in 5-star should just be a sick multicolored patch. I mean, I know they don't want to muddy the, you know, patch market, but why does Triple Threads have so much more and it's a lower price point? That's what I don't get.
Why don't they want to do that in baseball, but they don't even think twice about it doing it in football?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're going to do multicolored sick patches and like number them to 1500.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. There's certain things I just don't get. Maybe because there is competition in football, so they feel like they have to do something extra and beyond what is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of weird. I mean, maybe there obviously is more color in football jerseys too. I mean, yeah. but still, 5-star.
And football jerseys maybe, because a lot of the times you're getting them from the rookie premier guys, maybe easier to obtain
it's true.
Those jerseys as instead of like a game-used jersey from like Starlin Castro. I mean, it's probably going to be harder to get his one jersey than get a jersey from a rookie premier guy.
Now, that's a good question. How often do these guys get a new jersey every game for baseball players?
I don't know. That may be up to the player. I don't know.
Well, I know a lot of them are, you know, superstitious about their hats.
Exactly.
But
well, yeah, probably some of them about their jerseys as well. But I don't know. You figure you probably get X amount of jerseys a week.
Yeah, and then you can decide. I mean, if you're a guy that steals a lot of bases or gets it dirty, you're probably – I don't think they – you know, it's not like us. We're just going to wash it and wear it again. They're probably just going to – if it gets too dirty, they're not going to wash it and wear it. So.
Or a guy like you know, Emmanuel Burris or Eli Whiteside, who gets into a game like once every 4 months.
Bench warmers.
Yeah, I don't know if you really need to wash that jersey. It's pretty good.
They don't use a uniform, or they have a uniform budget on bench warmers. They're like, look, you're not going to really play, so you're going to get two jerseys a month. So just do what you want to do.
I bet in the clubhouse they are, you know, allowed X amount of jerseys. I mean, I'm not positive on that, but you know.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Maybe we can hit up an athlete on Twitter and see if anybody responds to us.
So it's a weird question to ask somebody.
You're like, hey, how many jerseys do you wear? And then you say, can I get your sweatiest one? Can you send it to me? I'm creepy.
It's gross.
Like that commercial with Steven Jackson and that guy.
He's like, oh yeah.
He's all, can I get your jersey? He's like, yeah. He shows it on the iPad and he's all, no, no, I want the one that you're wearing. It's all sweated in, and he's all, well, yeah. It's pretty classic. Then a few other releases came out. One that we both loved, we just did last week. We actually did 45 boxes of it. Was Prime Signatures Football from Panini, and I thought it was an absolute home run. So I wanted to hear your thoughts on that one.
It was a good product. I liked it a lot. Liked it a lot more than I did last year. It seemed like there was more vet autos in it.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was badass. That's all I can say. It was a good product. I mean, I understand that, like, you look at it, it's like, what, 40, 50 bucks a box, something like that?
60.
60. And
yeah,
60 bucks a box. I know you're only getting one hit, but I mean, more so than not, that hit was like $20-$30 card. I mean, a lot of the times it really wasn't bad.
No, but, and then when they did throw in, you know, multiple guys that maybe weren't the best, they actually put in an extra hit, or they, you know, there was a lot of packs that had two hits in it, and I could see that they were like, when they were packing it out, they're like, God, no one's going to want to collect this guy, so we'll throw in another guy to make it kind of ease the pain. Still, you're going to get, you know, 2 6-round autos is still going to kind of piss you off because you didn't get the luck or the RG3, but
it was
you feel like you got something extra.
Let's face it, it was David DeCastro. I mean, we know this. It was every pack that had an extra hit, one of the hits was David DeCastro. It's like somebody at packing at Panini was like, God, we can't do this to this person. This is messed up. Let's put in TJ Graham. Give you.
You mean David DeCastro is not going to be like an MVP or anything? What about the people that are PC and David DeCastro?
Stanford, right?
Yeah, Stanford, exactly.
Actually, he was a first rounder.
Was he? But yeah, you're right. He was.
He's an offensive lineman.
They were going to try to get him on the Colts if he would have went to the second round. They would have reunited the band, but
he offensive lineman probably not going to have a huge resale value to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe we'll prove you wrong in 5 years. They're going to be, you know, maybe David DeCastro might be the next BJ Raji, might be doing discount double checks.
BJ Raji was a defensive tackle.
Well, close enough.
Well, whatever. They're big guy.
They're both slightly large, you know. So, yeah. But
you see Navarro Bowman last night on special teams?
Yeah, he's a beast.
That guy is kind of ridiculous.
He just chased down Devin Hester.
Yeah. Well, he just got done playing defense, and he goes out there and he chases down Devin Hester. Then he's out there just playing defense again. I'm like, is this guy ever gonna take a snap off?
Yeah, and that was I know I'm not trying to be a homer here, but that was we went in and played a first place team. Granted, Jason Campbell was the starting quarterback, but we pretty much just destroyed them.
Well, the Bears are pretty much done. If is it Shiloh Rochelle? Is he actually a starting offensive lineman?
I don't know if he's starting because of injury, but he's definitely a starting lineman now.
Because if you have him on your team, you might as well just not have that lineman out there. Because he is like the invisible lineman.
Swinging gate.
And then there was the guy on the end, Alden Smith, was like, I think it's Cabrini or something.
Yeah, Gabe Kareemi or something.
Yeah, dude, he's a big boy. Alden Smith was pushing him around like he was like a 3-year-old out there. Well, like he was like literally just like bull rushing over. I'm like, dude, you're like a professional lineman. Like, Alden Smith is good, but dude, he ain't that good.
4.5 sacks good.
I mean, he's good, but I mean,
he's fast for his size, and I think that's where, I don't know, I mean, those Bears guys obviously aren't very fast. I think that's
But he's not, like, Alden Smith isn't that big. I mean, there's like tight ends in the league that are bigger than he is.
Yeah, yeah, he looks kind of like a hybrid linebacker slash.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of like, when he kind of set up like a linebacker.
Yeah, for sure.
But.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, unfortunately, I know we talk about our own fantasy leagues. So, you know, it was a sad situation in my league. I played the Niners defense in Acres, and it was torn. I think I'm going to join a league next year that just the Niners, you can't draft any Niners, so that I don't ever have to go against my team.
I don't talk about my fantasy team at all. No reason.
Because you got that huge winning record. You don't even need to bring them up.
Yep, 3-8.
Hey, well, you hooked me up because it would have been a 3-way tie. Now it's only a 2-way tie. So.
Of course I did.
So you're paying dues. You know?
Why wouldn't I? I'm going for the toilet bowl.
But, you know, speaking of Alden Smith, he was in that.
Speaking of the toilet bowl.
Speaking of the toilet bowl. That's our ESPN fantasy industry league is got a little tighter. Actually, this isn't where I was going with that. I was going to talk about 2011-2012 rookie class, but we're going to hold on to that. We're going to look at our fantasy league. I heard that there was like a 3- or 4-way tie right now going on. Somebody tweeted us in our league, and we're 5-6, so that might be toilet bowl status. We just lost to the number one team, and let's see our standings here. I think 6 make the playoffs, and I think we're in 6th right now. So
we were as of before this week, but...
Oh, yeah, I see what he's talking about. There is a 4-way tie in the West. We got sportscardradio.com in first, and then it's All About Cards, us, Tracy Hackler, and Team Random Drafting, which is Field Level View. We're all 5-6.
Wow.
All in the same division.
Wow.
So, a little ridiculous. So, I don't know who we play next week, but I think it's a win out, or we don't make the league.
Let's
see who we play. We play Card Shop Finders, and he's 6-5. So that's going to be cardshopfinder.com. If you're not familiar with them, they do what they say. They find you a card shop. If you're ever in a town where you don't know where one's at, go to cardshopfinder.com, and they'll find you a card shop. But we're playing Tom in our industry fantasy football league, and he's got Tony Romo, Frank Gore, LeSure, Calvin Johnson, Andre Roberts, Vernon Davis. So it'll be an interesting matchup. We got Scam Newton. Actually, LeSean McCoy may be out. He got carted off. So we may need to find another running back there.
Well, don't worry because we got Vic Ballard.
AP's coming back for us at least, so we'll have AP in there.
So don't worry. We got Vic Ballard.
Yeah, because it's a complete – you know, transparent replacement there. They're both the same guy, right? Vic Ballard and LeSean McCoy?
Yeah.
Same guy?
Yep.
Actually, I don't think he did too bad last week. Vic Ballard, didn't he get like 10 points or something?
He's projected to get 14 points.
He got 7 points for us last week, and they were playing Buffalo this week. He was 16-72. And he's healthy, it says, so that's good. Let's see. Yeah, he's questionable. LeSean McCoy is questionable, so... Who actually is pretty much underperformed all year as a first round pick for us. So,
yeah, that's not looking great for us.
Yeah, I mean, but we were like what 2-1-4 at one point, so we have kind of climbed back in the mix. So we'll see. But look for our tweets at @mojobreak_com, and we talk about our fantasy football industry league where it's people that have blogs, people that have sites, Tracy Hackler. Sports Card Radio, lots of cool people in the league. But I wanted to get into NFL's a young man's league. We got 2011's rookie class and 2012's rookie class just pretty much dominating the NFL right now. Let's talk about 2011. Which guys are breaking out this year that you would say, let's invest in some of their cards?
Austin Pettis.
That's a homer pick. He did catch a – he caught a touchdown, right, on Sunday?
Yeah, he had a touch – or he had a couple catches. He's been doing pretty good. That is a homer pick. But, Cecil Shorts.
Yeah, breakout guy. He'd probably still get his cards relatively cheap.
No, I own them all.
You got the market cornered in Cecil Short Pants?
Yeah, I've been collecting that guy for a while, so I have everything.
Yeah, he's on my fantasy team. He's doing pretty good. Well, man, that's going to be quite a combo if both those guys can step up. And you got Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts. And if MJD can come back healthy and they get Henny stays in there because Gabbert has a noodle arm.
You got Mercedes Lewis, too. He had a hell of a week.
Mercedes. Turn the engine on for the Mercedes.
Mercedes.
Sounds like a girl's name.
He had like two touchdowns. He had a hell of a week.
He did too, yeah. And Blackmon had one and, what, 450 yards or something? Something ridiculous?
Two something, maybe?
It was crazy. And you got Alden Smith in 2011. And all the guys that we've mentioned besides Austin Pettis, they weren't at the rookie premiere, so their autos aren't as abundant as the 30-plus rookie premiere guys that were in all the sets, you know, like Cam Newton, Ponder, you know, guys like Kendall.
Well, I mean, I can go through some of the guys who are not panning out as well. I mean, you got Cam Newton's having a rough year.
Yeah.
You got, pretty much all the quarterbacks. I mean, you got Ponder who's not having a great, well, he was having a pretty good year, but now he's not. You got, Gabbert, Locker.
Locker. Well, Locker got hurt, so I don't know.
Wasn't doing much before.
Kaepernick, obviously. We just talked about the Bears-Niner game. So he looked pretty good yesterday. So might be a guy that his card's probably already spiked from yesterday, so you're probably not going to get him on the cheap yet. But Kendall Hunter looks like the heir apparent to the throne to Frank Gore.
Bill O'Powell had two touchdowns.
Yeah, Bill O'Powell, the guy that everybody – gets out of a pack and is disappointed about.
You got Mikel LeSure.
Yep.
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams, but he got hurt. Well, actually, what about the two guys from New England? You got Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley, both pretty much. Stephen Ridley was the favorite at the beginning, getting a lot of touches. Now it looks like Shane Vereen's in the mix. They're both kind of the committee there.
I think Shane Vereen's getting a lot of the goal line carries.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit bigger than Ridley.
Yeah.
You know, guys like, who else came out? Well, yeah, you have Cam Newton. Andy Dalton, obviously. He's good. He's been doing good this year.
J.J. Watt.
J.J. Watt's a freaking beast. So, and then, you know, there's a lot of guys. It's surprising that 2011 football products have not gone up. I mean, I can still get absolute playbook, relatively cheap. I mean, cheaper than when it came out, which is crazy with the amount of guys that you can get in that product. So it's definitely interesting.
Von Miller.
Von Miller, defensive player, rookie of the year last year.
Yep.
Then you got your two big name, you know, receivers, A.J. Green and Julio Jones. I mean, they pretty much held their value the whole time. Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb was in that mix. Even Alex Green on the Packers he had a few opportunities to play. So,
well, Randall Cobb is one of the main guys.
He had a big game this weekend. He runs and receives.
Yeah, there was Mark Ingram, not so much.
Yeah, Mark Ingram was a bust. Even though he got a long touchdown against the Raiders.
Patrick Peterson, Marcel Darius.
Peterson, yeah, Darius is playing good, but he's a
Nick Fairley had a couple. He had a sack or two. He looked pretty good, finally.
Yeah. If both those guys can get on the same page, I mean, the Lions could be unstoppable with that pass rush.
John Baldwin hasn't done much.
On the Chiefs there.
Yep.
But, I just wanted to – then you look at the guys this year that are already starting, you know, 2012. I mean, you got – Doug Martin, probably a favorite for Rookie of the Year. It's going to be hard to pick Rookie of the Year this year. You got RG3, obviously, Andrew Luck. You got Blackmon now showing up. Kendall Wright's pretty much starting over there.
Don't forget, last year you got Torrey Smith and Greg Little.
Yeah, those guys. Greg Little had a touchdown this weekend.
DeMarco Murray.
He's been a little injured, but had a big season at the end of the 800 yards in a short span of time there.
Yeah, you know, pretty solid draft. And a lot of these guys were falling like crazy in last, like, oh, Roy Helu. I mean, yeah. not doing much right now, but.
Yeah. And then there's Alfred Morris this year, who didn't get the rookie premiere, but been a stud running back for the Redskins. I wanted to move on and talk about, have you heard about this prospect challenge that Bowman's doing?
Well, it was in one of the products we're opening up.
Well, no, that's the Be a Scout, but they're doing something that's kind of interesting that I might just jump on board with. It's they're using the Bowman line to introduce a fantasy baseball concept. So it's an online game, and they're going to insert the cards into packs, and it'll be in the three upcoming Bowman brands tied to minor league performances. So I'm assuming Bowman Draft, Bowman Sterling, and probably 2013. The more card packs you open, the more chances you'll have to build a team of top prospects to win prizes. So basically, you'll pull these out, redeem them, and then you'll get like a prospect on your team, and then whatever they do on the field will give you a chance to win prizes, which I think is pretty cool.
It's a hell of an idea.
Yeah, definitely. I might steal that and do something on our site with that. Monthly prizes included autographs of top prospects numbered to 10 or less. This is how it'll work. Code cards and packs allow collectors to enter it on tops.com/Bowman Game. Each code will unlock 4 prospects. Pick one of the 4 for your team. 8 prospects complete a roster. So, you can always buy more packs to get, better prospects. So, and there will be 10 monthly winners who will receive the autograph cards. Then there will be 10.
And is the scoring based on their minor league stats, I take it?
Yeah, yep. There will be 10 grand prize winners of season-long competitions receive autographs cards numbered to 10 or less. Random codes will unlock a special 5-card pack of Bowman draft picks and prospects blue wave, and some will include autographs. Code cards will be distributed at a rate of 1 in every 6 packs in the upcoming Bowman draft picks and prospects set for release November 28th, as well as Bowman Sterling on November 9th or on December 19th and Bowman 2013 and May 1st. So that's kind of cool. And it gives people a chance to try to get build their team and win something extra. So Topps has definitely kind of innovated online presence more so than Panini or any other manufacturers. So I think that's pretty cool.
When you say online presence, more like the giveaways and
I guess more like lack of a better word, e-games. They're definitely okay. And then they have those apps like the Topps Pennant app, and they had the Dig, where you can dig for coins.
Yeah.
And, stuff like that. I haven't seen a lot of other manufacturers doing that quite yet. So that's props to Topps. So which is kind of cool. We talked about Black Friday already. Twinkies, man. I was talking about this yesterday. On eBay, people are just going mad for Twinkies. If you don't already know, if you've been living under a rock, Hostess has filed bankruptcy. They're closing shop. And the ever-so-wanted golden sponge cake, creamy-filled Twinkies, I'm hungry now, is drying up. People are just going mad. It's like it's allocated. It's like Twinkies are allocated, and people are pay $45 for a box of 10. It's like
is it just Twinkies, or people going crazy over everything else? Like snowballs and crap like that.
I didn't know they made snowballs. I have to get on eBay for that now too.
Well, I'm pretty sure the coconut like marshmallow spongy cake that has like pink stuff on it. Do those even exist anymore?
Making me hungry, man. I haven't had breakfast. Let's see. Snowballs.
want a snowball?
Let's see. Snowball. It brings up the microphone that I'm talking into right now. Hostess. Let's see. Let's see if anybody's got snowballs on. Yeah. Well, somebody's trying to sell them, but they're not selling. And somebody's trying to get $10 for 2 packs of pink snowballs.
Nice.
So, wow. For 2 packs, it's got 12 bids with an hour left. It's at $8. And then there's one picture of a guy that had like a half-eaten one. I wonder if I get that. I don't want a half-eaten snowball. Three packs of Hostess snowballs. So it's kind of crazy what people will sell on eBay. I mean, I don't remember seeing Mother's Cookies. Remember Mother's Cookies went out of business? I don't think there was Mother's Cookies on eBay.
I think it was before eBay, man.
I think so. Yeah, it's no, I think that was a couple years ago.
I don't remember a life without eBay.
Before we get into break, I wanted to talk about I want to do Panini versus Topps. There's been what, 5, 6, 7, 8 releases of 2012 NFL products, and I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on who comes out on top so far. Who's in the early lead of developing great NFL products?
We're talking NFL.
NFL.
God, it Topps has done some things that have kind of pissed me off when it comes to football. So I gotta go Panini. The quality of, I mean, we haven't even seen like the cream of the crop yet, but the quality of products have been really, really well done. And it seemed like last year Panini was like kind of watering down the market with just release after release after release. And like, you couldn't really tell the difference. Like at one point you're like, oh my God, they just all blended together.
Right. Right.
And it was hard to really pick out the good ones because it was so many of them. I think they went back to the drawing board, and even though there still has been just as many releases, you can tell the difference. And everyone like really does stand out. And I think when it comes to football, Panini has went above and beyond what was expected. And I mean, not hating on Topps by any means. I just think for this year, I think Panini kind of won this round.
Yeah, I mean, we can kind of view it as the first quarter because there's, you know, progressively getting into some of the bigger releases. But I mean, we can start with the first release, Bowman Signatures Football, which was everybody was going nuts for because it was the first product. I mean, that product was poop on a stick. Let's just face it right now. Boxes are – I go to the distributor and I can get a box for like $90 when I paid $170 a box when it came out because it was so allocated. People were like, oh my God, it's the first football product. Andrew Luck, blah, 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 blah. There's helmets. There's rubber helmets. It's great. And then it came out.
It was exactly those words, blah, 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 blah.
And it's like, you're going to love this product that's got rubber helmets on it and fake pictures of these guys. That's what they said. That's what they sell on the sell sheet. And I was like, God, I do. I want more of it. I love it. It's great. And then you open packs and you're like, this looks like Magic had a baby with Inception. And that's what came out. And then they just put some awful sticker autos on top of it. You do get 5 autos. That's a somewhat of a value there, but not at $100 and $200 a box, kind of ridiculous. So that was the first hit. And
but it was the hype of the fact that it was the first release, like the first football release. So, I mean, if you would have thrown that in the mix of, let's say if you would have put that in the middle of football season, like if it would have came out now and it was that same exact product, it would have flopped instantly.
Well, I think it still did flop instantly.
No, it didn't flop instantly. There was people still willing to pay $150. I mean, it hasn't gone down. It didn't go down until there was other releases. It didn't go down until, like, Prestige came out and stuff like that. It was still, like, the first product. I mean, so when you're the first product out in a football season right after the draft, you don't really have to try hard to get interest.
Well, exactly.
People want it. I mean, it could have been worse, and people still would have bought it.
Yeah, I mean, and they moved it up. I mean, literally, that came out on May 30th, and I mean, the guys got drafted at the end of April, so they literally within 30 days they pushed out a product. They knew what teams people were on, and they threw out a product. I mean, I can only imagine the madness of getting the product out. So there couldn't have been too much concept and design because they had to focus on being the first one in. So, you know, Panini took the approach of, you know, waiting almost 2 months and releasing Prestige, which, you know, looking back on it now, it's not a box I would buy now, but at the time it was, you know, tenfold above, you know, Bowman Signatures because it actually had the NFL logos. It was, you know, it was a great collation. The cards looked a little bit better. They weren't forced out, so they took their time. So that was kind of round one. I mean, and then the next product that came out was Inception, which we all know, you know, got so much hype last year, multicolor craziness, just, you know, sickness. This is the greatest cards ever last year. This year came out, chipping, double zeros. That's all we heard. And there was no innovation from last year. They basically, I don't know, it's like, it seemed like during that time period, Topps either took vacation or they focused on baseball. Maybe even a little bit of both.
But. You know, it was such a hit the previous year. Why change it?
You gotta. I mean, I don't know. You're right, and in some aspects, I do agree. But I think,
like, why mess with a formula that works?
Well, you know, and this is just my opinion. I don't run card companies, but I think the products focus so early on rookies. That there's only like two or three rookies at that time that people know of. Like, I mean, everybody was going after Luck, RG3, and Trent Richardson. So if you didn't get them in a pack, you'd be like, oh, God, this just sucks. So in my opinion, throw a few vet autos, Hall of Fame autos in there just to give people something that they can get that doesn't seem like it sucks. Because, yeah, you know, Chris Givens, you're like, oh, this sucks. Well, the guy's like, you know, out there catching touchdowns now. So, I mean, it's a now is, it might be is, a better
that
hit.
That is true. Right, you're right there.
We're talking I'm about surprised Chris I came Givens. Up with the, I came up with the freaking Ram guy off the top of the dome there. That was pretty sad.
But you're right. I mean, all he does is go out there, run routes, make plays.
But, I mean, there's 35 rookie premier guys, so – it's a 10% chance that you're going to get some of the big name guys.
I mean, I get it if you throw in some vets. I mean, throw in a Cam Newton auto. Like,
yeah.
I at that point, it's everybody still like thinks of Cam Newton because it's early in the season. The football season hasn't started yet. You're like, man, like even though it's a second year card, it's not a rookie card. You're stoked because The previous year you went chasing that guy. The whole time. So throw some Andy Dalton, throw some AJ Green, throw some of the, let's face it, you got to have some leftover stickers from these guys.
Right. They signed just, million autos. Anyway.
They just got done. I mean, you should know exactly where they're at.
Right.
So throw in a lot of the second year guys that you have extra stickers for from the previous year. Don't hold on to them and put them in like a triple threads football or something like that.
Or don't put them in Series 1 baseball.
Or Series 1 baseball.
Why would you do that?
Don't do it.
We were talking about crossing over in sports. What was it when we were breaking? They were like, it'd be awesome to get a Bryce Harper auto. It was Chrome, huh? Chrome football. Right? Oh, Bryce Harper auto. Just in Chrome, just randomly. It'd be a group breaker's nightmare, but, you know, it would definitely wake you up.
A little bit.
I don't want to hit on too many more of their football products because I did want to talk about early releases before we go into break, but you know, rounding out some of the early momentum, I think was great. I mean, unparalleled value even to today. I still use it, and we still use it in a lot of group breaks because it's 10 hits. I mean, there's no other value out there that's going to give you 10 hits for 250 retail. I mean, it's a good value. Right after that, Topps Platinum, which I think was a stinker. Topps Platinum football was another product that they didn't change, and they added patches to cards that were like numbered to 1500, which was ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the one thing that Topps did this year that,
and with Finest as well. Finest and Platinum were the same thing.
I just can't get over it. I need to move on. I get it. I need to move on, but I can't. I can't just do it yet.
Yeah, I know. I go to your house and you got a dartboard with, you know, Platinum and Finest sell sheets. You're just throwing it at it. Like,
just hanging out, I just start talking about the Platinum release and the Finest release, and I'm just hanging out. People are like, what are you talking about?
And I go in your bathroom, and you've got Finest and Platinum cards you use for toilet paper. I mean, it's like, just, God, you know, you gotta move rough. Fast.
Well,
it is,
I mean,
it is rough.
There is – no, it is. I mean, there's so much multicolored patches in there. If you basically just pull it out, it works great as toilet paper. There's a lot of, lot of material, a lot of cloth.
Well, that's how you ding a corner for sure.
Yeah.
And then after that, what, Panini Prominence, which I actually – that was probably one of the worst Panini releases of the year. I think that they just kind of threw that one out there. Topps Prime, I mean, the last couple releases of Topps have been good. Topps Prime was really good. I like the value, and I usually don't like products that have single-color jerseys like all up in it. But I think that one is well done. It was great value for what you get in a box. It seems like they actually collated it better for Prime.
Prime was great. Chrome was what was expected. Again, I respect a formula that works. Don't mess with it if it works. So I don't think on certain products you have to be innovative and change it up every year. I would actually prefer if you just left it the way it is.
Right.
If it's a good product, it has value, it's fun to open, and the resale value is relatively good, just leave it alone.
Right.
Just don't mess with it. I mean, look at regular Bowman or Bowman Chrome. I mean, they changed the design a little bit, but the concept is still there.
Yeah.
Just on good products that are home runs every year, don't mess with them.
Yeah, people really don't like change. I mean, going back to Inception, it's really not. If I had said Inception was a staple, then I would expect it to be a certain number. But so it's really only its second year. It's still a little baby, you know.
little baby product.
Little baby Jesus product.
little baby product.
That product
is a baby.
Bowman Chrome is an older man. It's a man. It's mature. It's a lot higher. But yeah, and then certified. You know, one thing I was disappointed was certified. I don't know why. I still can't get over the fact that the design on certified football. It just, to me, it was just like last year was good. The year before was good. They just tried too hard, I think. I think they tried to make it look a little fancier, and I think they wound up missing the mark on it. I mean, it's still a good set. It's still a lot of value on it, but I don't know. I hate its face. That's all I'm saying.
The years that we've been doing this, every year out of all the products, I've always felt certified was one of the better values.
Yeah.
Because you can get Hall of Fame autos, you can get Hall of Fame jersey pieces, vet stuff. Always a good solid value. This is the only year where I'm like, Panini probably has four or five football products out that are a better value than certified. And that's something that I would never say before.
And they really, you know, and I know that they always, you know, four hits, at least one autograph. They usually put in two, not in certified. It's literally you get one autograph most of the time. I mean, you will get two every once in a while, but they, you know, and then you're going to get – they had the right idea on the fact that, you know, the higher numbered stuff or the lower numbered stuff had the multi-patches, but it just – I don't know. They just the design with the single colored patches just looked cheesy in my opinion, but – that was probably the one that I was disappointed about, but then they came out with one that I normally sleep on, which is Gridiron. I just was thinking, oh, God, this is going to suck. This is going to be, you know, crap-in-your-mouth product, but came out, and it's amazing. They did hot boxes.
Crap-in-your-mouth product.
Yeah, that's the best analogy that I can
think. Crap-in-your-mouth.
Yeah, who wants crap in their mouth?
Crap.
Why would you want a product that's like crap in your mouth?
You should go to distributor before you pick it up. You're like, is this going to be crap in my mouth? I'm gonna get this case, but is this going to be crap in my mouth?
They're like, no, it's going to be a fine steak. And I'm like, all right, give me five cases. crap in my mouth. I mean, they should put that on sell sheets. Not going to be crap in your mouth. It's going to be success in your mouth. The smell of success in your mouth.
Oh, man.
But that kind of rounds it out.
That's pretty much where it ends.
Segue from crap. And I was thinking a lot of talk on Twitter. There's obviously people that complain constantly, and I'm not going to name any names. But early releases, I mean, what can these manufacturers do? What can we do to prevent people getting Wednesday's releases on Tuesdays? Do you think it's unfair? I mean, what's your point of view on it?
I don't know. When you deal with so many different distributors shipping out products to all across the, you know, to the West Coast, East Coast, and everywhere in between, you can't judge it. There's too many variables that go into it. Like, you got to make sure you get the cards out on time. And if you're a distributor and you're like, literally send it to somebody who's 2 hours away, well, of course they're going to get it before the person who's in California.
Right.
That's just the way it is. That's business. I mean, it's not just this industry. It's every industry. I mean, somebody's going to get something before somebody else. That's just the way life is. I don't think there's really any way you can police it. I mean, what do? You tell people, hey, if you open up this product or we catch you selling it before it gets released, we go to your house and like
slap your kid's mouth,
kill your dog, or
crap
in your mouth.
Boy, they could just say we're gonna stop using eBay, kick them off eBay.
Really? Because
sports cards are such a big part of eBay. I mean, they're gonna
because eBay is like, oh, absolutely. eBay's gonna be like, if it's more money for us, release them earlier. Let's get this going.
And that's, I think, where the true people are making money on it. I mean, they could
basically like have a bomb inside the box that if you open it up early, it just explodes.
And that's a good idea. Crap in your mouth.
Crap in your mouth. Like, you actually open it up, it's just like a balloon of crap pops in your face.
And that would be pretty cool. They should have a time sensitive little watch on it. Be like, loser, loser, loser. Something, I don't know, something like that.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It's not specific to this industry either. It's everything.
Yeah, but I think, like, you know, obviously this is such a niche industry. I mean, compare it to movies and like CDs and stuff like that. You never see somebody with like the new Papa Roach album on Tuesday unless it's like
what's a CD?
A compact disc.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Where do you put that in? You
put that in your iTunes player somehow.
Yeah, okay.
Shove it in your computer. In the top of it through the screen or something. I never put one in.
You know nobody buys CDs anymore.
I do every once in a while. I like to read the linear notes.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I read the linear notes in the photography.
Nope. Nobody just buy it on iTunes.
I read the photography.
Yep.
Dead air.
I get what you're saying.
I guess video games would be a better analogy because, you know, people go nuts for Halo 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever the latest Halo is. They stand in line at midnight. Those don't get released early at all. You can't get it the day before.
That is absolutely not true. I know people specifically who get games early.
Well, because they work at GameStop.
If you know somebody who works at GameStop or you know somebody who works for EA Sports or something like that, yeah, you can get a copy early.
Yeah, but it's not in abundance as sports cards. And I guess you can't.
Actually, if you were to take the industries, I'm pretty sure there's more copies of the new Madden comes out a week before anybody gets any sports cards.
It's true. Well, because people can't really. Well, I guess
I'm talking numbers here, man. There's more people. There's more people who play Madden out there than collect sports cards.
No, I don't think so, dude. I think you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
I think there's 5 million people that collect sports cards and only two million that play Madden.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, you know what? I'm out of line. I admit.
Consult your numbers better, bro.
You know,
crap in your mouth on your numbers.
I'm talking crap in my mouth.
No, but I mean, I guess in that industry, people aren't directly profiting off of it. So, you know, that's why people are really crying on Twitter. I mean, they're using it as a forum to cry to tops about, hey, you know, and now even retail is coming up.
I don't know. Crying is quite right. I think complaining. I don't think anybody's like sitting on Twitter like tweeting and like tears just falling down.
I do.
I don't think so.
I cry. I cry when I open Pooperstown. No, I'm just kidding.
That's messed up, man. The thing is that you're hating on that product because, you know, it wasn't all sex appeal and hits and whatnot.
Well, isn't that what it's all about?
There's a story behind those cards.
There is.
Literally on each card, there's like a story on it.
Maybe I can buy a box and bring it to the bathroom next time then.
Yeah, maybe if you just, you know, were reading a little bit, or you were just not like, God, what number? What's it number two? Where's the auto? Where's the multicolor?
I never went to public school, man. I don't know how to read. So
you never went to public school?
See, I can't even form sentences. That's how uneducated I am. At public school, man. Product.
No, I mean, Doug's opening it up. He's like, dude, what's all this reading crap? I want multicolor.
I read picture books or books on CDs.
I want multicolor.
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, and then there's people talking about how Target and Walmart get it. That's not fair either. I mean, that's even more. I mean, granted, the odds suck, but that's even more. I mean, even on the West Coast, we're getting it at on Monday. That's the ball. That's the ball. My product early.
Is your breakfast burrito ready?
It's a coffee maker telling me it's done. Yeah, it's my breakfast burrito.
The Jimmy Dean sausage.
I cooked a Twinkie. I just fired it up right now. Deep fried.
Deep fried in a microwave.
Yeah, well, that pretty much heads into break. When we come back, we'll talk about we'll review baseball cards in 2012. Even though we mixed a little bit in already, but we'll kind of hit up all the releases. We'll talk some more stuff. So we'll be back after this jam. Make sure you check out mojobreak.com. We got a nice 10% off. It's called Save Money. Just type it in, and you're going to save money. It's pretty easy. Pretty easy to remember, too. Save money. 10%. Save money.
You should have made it must be the money.
Like Deion Sanders? Yeah. Prime time. Type in prime time. Well, maybe find a hidden code that has something to do with Deion Sanders.
Must be the money. Yeah.
Really got me wild. Must be. I don't know if that's how it goes, but something like that. All right, so we're going to hit up this jam, and we'll be back after the break. All right. Well, that was Adelita's Way with Criticize. Nice little rock jam there. We'd like to welcome you back. I wanted to tell you about our Black Friday promotion, mojobreak.com. We're going to be doing 16% off. I can't give you the code yet, but check on Black Friday. You'll see a little code. You're going to get 16% off. We're also going to have doorbuster deals. What's a doorbuster?
Come in. You're going to – what, are we going to have spots for like a buck?
Yeah, there's going to be hidden teams. You got to find them. So first come, first serve. There's going to be teams for a dollar.
One of those teams can't be the Rams, right? You're not going to do that to me, are you?
I don't know. We'll
see. You're gonna devalue my Rams.
A dollar spots, and there'll be a couple of them. So look out for them. There'll be a set time. So make sure you're on our email list, following us on Twitter. There'll be a
what time should I be on the site looking for those?
I would say around 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
But everybody will be in the know come Black Friday. So, but the 16% off. We're also going to be doing a free box break of 2012 Triple Threads baseball. So for every $20 you spend on Black Friday, you will get a chance at a free team.
So, nice.
Yeah, that's
every $20, huh?
Correct.
Nice.
So if you spend $200, you get 20 entries to get a free spot.
What a deal.
Plus you get 16% off. So we're just, you know, we're taking food out of our mouth for you to, you know, get into some of these breaks. And, you know, if you have them before, here's the time to take the leap, because we really never have a sale this big. So it's pretty much the biggest sale of the year. And Black Friday's going off. And, you know, we talked about the Black Friday packs from Panini earlier, and this kind of sparked my kind of a debate, kind of like a misunderstanding. We just talked about level playing field. I'm not sure why people like us or online companies aren't able to offer promos. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. And I obviously have an opinion on that as well.
Well, I mean, you know, we've seen how this industry kind of works in the short amount of time we've been involved in it. The local card shops, not hating, but they are babied and kind of protected by the manufacturers, and they should be. But you got to understand, like, how much revenue case breakers and online sites like Blowout and Dave and Adams Card World generate for these companies.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous, and especially with the emergence of online case breaking, this is like a whole new market that is formed. And people, I mean, there's people who are doing pretty well. And at least I know with the distributors that we deal with, they're having record-breaking years. And what's different? Is it the local card shops that are generating more income for them? Or is it all the emergence of these online case breakers who are ordering more product and flipping it and moving through it on a consistent basis?
Yeah, I mean, most of the card stores that I've heard of, I mean, they buy one or two boxes of every product, if that, and they definitely pick and choose some of their products. I mean, some that go direct with Topps, they have to buy every product. You know, maybe they should be privy to certain promos. I mean, we buy every Topps product as well, but it's just – it almost is viewed as people like us, people that have online businesses are viewed as like almost like scum, in lack of a better word. Like these guys are just like pushing product out, and, you know, it's the local card store is the original. That's what should be, you know, king. And I there's going to be a time where, you know, the playing field is going to have to be leveled. I mean, it's not really fair.
Well, I think one of these manufacturers, they're going to come up with a system. I mean, these people see what happens. They see the revenue that's generated. They know where it comes from. This is still like the online case breaking is still relatively new. So I think the structure really isn't evolved yet for them to figure it out. But I mean, one of them will jump on board at some point.
Yeah, and
it's just they need, because this is a huge market and it hasn't quite been tapped yet. I mean, a lot of the case breakers are not really partial to either Panini or Topps, but you know, you give them a little extra incentive to bust their product because they're getting like extra promos back. It's absolutely going to drive their sales, like the manufacturer's sales.
Yeah, and I mean, do you think that they're afraid that people like us will sell them online? I mean, do you think that's a concern of theirs, that why they're not doing it?
Well, I have no intention, personally.
No.
I have no intention based on the fact that you still have to compete with eBay. There's still people out there who get boxes of cards and try to flip them on eBay or buy a case and open like a couple boxes and realize they want to get rid of the rest. You always are going to have to compete with those guys. And they're selling it for, they're trying to get their money out. They're selling it for a dollar above what they paid for it.
Right.
There is, if you're trying to sell online, I mean, there's really, unless you do it in volume, there's no money to be made by selling individual boxes or cases.
Or if you speculate, what we call, you know, you pick a product that you think is going to be a home run and you just don't buy. Let's face it, Panini products, well, for one, you can't buy them. You can't sell them online. You have to be a case breaker or a store to be able to sell their product. So people speculate on Topps products. Like there's people that, you know, Topps Chrome football seems to go up every year. So they speculate and they buy 15 cases and they try to flip them. So there are those people that do maybe make a little bit of change here and there. But people like us, I mean, and I'm sure all the breakers out there, I mean, we just want to be able to offer it to people, you know, that have spent a lot of money. I mean, we have people that spend a lot of money. I mean, they buy a lot of breaks. Maybe they don't have a local card store next to them. We just want to be able to say, hey, thank you. And, you know, from support for the manufacturer that, you know, I hate to throw number figures out there, but we talked about this. We probably spent $50,000 to $80,000 with Panini this year. So, I mean, we want to be able to say, hey, thank you. We would like them to say, hey, thanks for buying our product. Offer this for free for your customers. I mean, that's just, you know.
Exactly. And, I mean, if a local card shop can do it, why don't we get the opportunity? And I feel what you're saying. Just a level playing ground. Just everybody treated the same.
And not just us. Blowout DA. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome for them to have a Black Friday sale and to be able to give out a pack or, you know, buy playbook or something and you'll get two packs shipped to you. I mean, that would be awesome for them too. But maybe they're thinking tangibleness. I mean, I know seeing these cards live creates excitement and stuff like that, but I personally think you're going to get more out of it by offering it to everybody. I just think that you're going to be able to, the promotion's going to get bigger. People are going to buy more Panini product all the way around. Or Topps for that matter. Topps have, and you know, it's just not just Panini. Topps has local card store promos as well. So
when we were at the summit, and I always get back to the summit because it was a prime example of what the industry is about and kind of where it's headed. And we'll definitely see this year where it's headed for sure.
Yeah.
But with everybody who had local card shops, it was, from what I got out of it, it was like constant complaining and bickering about how things are not right.
Yeah.
I think the manufacturers get that on so many fronts throughout the year of a local card store owner saying, God, I'm going to go out of business. I can't do this. This sucks. I think they're just going, hey, like, here's something. Here, do this. See if this can stimulate your business. And this is, I think that's where it's coming from. I think it's just the years and years of what the manufacturers have been hearing, like complaining and stuff like
yeah,
that. We're guys saying that they can't compete. So I think this is something that's been in the works for a while.
Yeah, and I mean, I do give them credit. They have a lot more loyalty, years of loyalty than we do. So, I mean, maybe that's worth something as well. But, you know, everybody should be able to get a chance at something. I mean, especially level playing field, the word that we've just been throwing around this whole little segment here. Everybody should be able to offer the same. It's just how it should be. But maybe we'll see that in a few years from now. Maybe we'll be able to get in their ear at the summit. Maybe we'll have a little bit more fuel this time. Maybe we won't be the only people that do breaks. So,
this industry, the case breaking, box breaking is growing. I mean, it is. How many people do we see coming up? It seems like.
My grandma started a breaking company yesterday, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, she's gonna be busting.
What's she gonna call it?
Granny's Group Breaks. Granny's Great Group Breaks. It's just going to be like 3 G's. That's going to be your logo.
Nice.
So, no, but yeah, everybody. I mean, it's a fairly relatively easy way to start something. So, I mean, it's hard to sustain. That's what people don't understand. But anybody that has $300, a computer, a webcam, and bubble mailers can pretty much get something going and see if they can do a break. I mean, there's a lot more logistics than that, but.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot more to it than that, but, you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it on the outside, it seems like it's easy enough, so that's why everybody does start it up. But enough about that, enough about the complaining and.
I don't complain. That wasn't complaining.
I mean, enough of the constructive criticism of promos. I wanted to get into our.
It is what it is. It's not like, honestly, I mean, if we never get any kind of promo, it's not going to be the end of the world. I mean, we'll be able to sustain without it. It would just be nice to just be able to give back to the people who support us and the people who support the manufacturers.
You sure we're going to be able to make it? Because I put the website up on eBay today. I was like, I'm just going to sell this thing because I can't get any goddamn promos. And offer me, I got it up there for $2,000 or best offer. Anybody can buy it.
Nah, you should have started.
Cash me out.
You should start at 99 cents. free shipping.
Free shipping on a website. all right, well, we're going to get into reviewing baseball. How many products came out so far? There was
75,000 products.
26 releases, 6 from Panini, 2 from Leaf, and 18 from Topps so far. And you know, there's been some good ones. There's been some bad ones. There's been some
crap in your mouth. This is all baseball.
It's definitely all baseball. Well, yeah, that's the segment. The best of baseball from this year. So. So I wanted to get your opinion. I had a couple categories here that I wanted to go over. What do you think was the most innovative release of the year?
Oh yeah. I'm like, God, there's a lot there. Really, we really did this. This is that many, huh?
There's a lot of baseball releases for sure.
Oh man.
Usually there's more football releases though.
You know, there's only two that we did not bust.
Yeah, it was the Leaf metal and the triple play.
Oh no,
pro debut.
Pro debut. We don't do pro debut. No offense to pro debut, but we just don't do that one.
There's only 135 minor league teams. Come on.
Oh man.
Maybe next year we could sell each team for like $3 because there's 135 of them.
See, I mean, I don't really think of anything as being. There was nothing really innovative. There was products that were really solid, and I liked what they did. The Prime Cuts Baseball, I liked it. As long as you didn't get a prospect box, there's really something pretty killer in there. I mean, to me, that might have been Panini's best baseball release, Prime Cuts.
I think so.
Tier one may have been one of the best releases this year. Tier one for value. Now, of course, you don't get like base cards and set building and stuff like that. But I mean, like you say, all killer, no filler.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was, and also a breaker's dream too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, the only downside to it is, yeah, there's, you do a break, a case of 6, there's only 18 to 19 cards, so there's people that don't even get it.
So if we're talking innovative, the only one that really comes out to me would be Panini Cooperstown, because there's been nothing like that to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I can see what you're saying. It definitely is one in its own, with, you know, chronicalizing all the Cooperstown guys, Hall of Fame players. You're right. I didn't really think about that as being an innovative product because I've been so down on it, because opening it is not a dream. And you have to read, which I don't do. But Cooperstown was definitely innovative. My pick for for innovation this year was actually archives.
Yeah, that was the one I was gonna. That was the second one. That was a cool looking set.
It was, and you know, there was a lot of base cards. There was only two hits, but. And I know they've done reprints before, but they haven't done reprints on this level. And I'm sure from Topps, it was a really big undertaking to do multiple designs and stuff like that to, you know, with the different kind of printing plates it would take to do the 86 design, the, you know, 62 design, and all the different years that they had in the set. And it was just kind of just a really cool, nostalgic set, and the value was good. It was like 70 to 100 a box, depending on the time when you bought it. And get two on-card autos, and you've got a chance at Hank Aaron, you know, Will Clark, which I actually have sitting next to me that I pulled off in a trade. Got the nice little Will Clark from Archives. It was something that I know that they're going to do with football this year, and I'm pretty sure they'll bring it back for baseball next year. So it's probably going to be one of those products that's going to be a staple at Topps, and that's my innovation pick of the year.
It was a really, really solid product all around. But I would have to still go with. If we're talking innovation, I'd probably go Panini Cooperstown.
Yeah, that's I didn't even think about that looking at the list, but I could see what you mean. I mean, they have the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame, you know, plaques number to 599, and then you know, just different stories about baseball. It's definitely a nostalgic set. I don't think it's worth buying a case of the product, but it's definitely a great box to just buy and have the cards.
Absolutely, I mean it's a. You know, I mean, it's a pretty big set list too. I think the set list is or the set list. What am I talking about?
From music, yeah. Music
I got. I didn't even have band practice last night, and I'm like, what's going on? the checklist is what I was thinking of. The checklist was like 200 deep, I think. So it's a good set builder's product too.
For sure, yeah, and. You know, moving on to, you know, we don't really think of patches in baseball as much as we think in football, but I do want to talk about what do you think was – which product had the best patches?
If I'm not mistaken, the Bowman Platinum had some pretty good ones, didn't it?
Yeah. Bowman Platinum did have some great patches. They had those jumbo number to five.
Yeah.
That was good. My pick probably would be – triple threads, just because that's pretty much known for multicolored, especially with the, you know,
trying to go out of the box here. I'm not trying to
pick the one you everybody's thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, it triple threads year after year seems to have the best patches, so that's going to be my pick on best patches. The set you talked about, actually, Prime Cuts, had a lot of color in it as well.
Had some old school too.
Yeah, nice little fabric swatches and multicolorness in it. That was a good set.
The only thing that was missing, I mean, again, we get back to the MLB licensing. Panini's pretty innovative, and I think they do put a lot of value in every release that they put out. It's just with the baseball stuff, it's never going to have the resale value without the team's logos on it.
Yeah, and they really did have some bad releases as in terms of value. Limited baseball really wasn't great, or there was some collectability there. Triple play baseball was probably the best product of the year. No, I'm just kidding. That was good for, you know, kids at a $20 price point. They had Panini Signature Series, which I liked. I think that was – they're on the right track with their products. That was the one that just came out that had the ball, the fake ball, and then like the rated rookie patches. And it seems like every release that Panini does, it seems like their checklist of guys gets bigger. So they're starting to get like everybody, because they had Cespedes in this, Trout Autos and stuff like that. So they're starting to get to where Topps is with their checklist. Before it was like, you know, they only had 20 guys that they could get to sign. If you look at Elite from this year, remember when they started putting in veterans in Elite, and then they had like 10 guys or something? It seems like as the year goes on, they seem to get more and more guys to sign. So,
well, I think it's starting to come together, because they have the MLBPA licensing.
Yeah.
So I think it's starting to come together for them, and you know, it's only going to grow and get bigger. They just.
Yeah.
any of those little team logos on her.
I mean, when do you think, what year do you think they're going to have a license? We're going to have two MLB licensed manufacturers.
I don't know. 2018. I don't know.
2056. No.
I don't know. I think it's going to be sooner than later. I don't know what the logistics are. I don't know why they, I don't know if like MLB is like staying strong with Topps because Topps has been there for a while, or if Topps basically just offered the most money for it. I don't know what the logistics are, but it would definitely make it, competition always makes products better. And well, you can see that with football.
And I don't know if it has anything to do, and this is just me not knowing the complete history of these manufacturers, but obviously, you know, Panini just bought Donruss and all these guys out, you know, what, 3-4 years ago. So maybe MLB didn't want to give the license to a company that they weren't sure about. They wanted to have somebody that they know is going to be around, that's going to represent the brand right. So maybe Panini is on its way to proving that to them, because they're not going to give it to Donruss, who's, you know, Sold and Leaf and all those guys back in the day.
Panini's, you know, been around for a while.
Yeah, they have, but they haven't really done, they've been doing stickers and things like that.
Sticker books, bro. I had them when I was like, five.
Yeah, I know. They were killer.
I wish I had I had like the 1987 sticker book. It was awesome.
I still have them. I read them every night before I go to bed.
There's not a lot of reading in them. You basically just buy the packs of stickers and then you match it to the corresponding number.
I told you, I read picture books.
Okay.
So that's nice. One of the books I read before I go to bed. I look at Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, all those guys I used to, you know, watch back in the day. I got sticker books of them now, so don't hate.
Carney Lansford, Walt Weiss.
So if you ever,
Mike Gallego.
Mike Gallego was sick. There was a Will Clark in there, I'm sure. Kelly Downs, Kurt Manwaring.
Yeah, I think the one I have must have been from 87, because it had there's a National League championship page, and it had the championship game between it was the Cardinals and Giants.
Nice. Yeah, when Clark hit that home run, or that was against the Cubs, right?
That was against the Cubs. This was 87. It was nice. I think Jose Kendo hit a big home run in that series.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, sticker books, bro. Sticker books. But back to Panini. I think it's gonna be sooner than later. I think we might even be talking about maybe next year or the next couple years that they're gonna get the license. I mean, because it's gonna be more money for baseball if you have two people. You know, I'm not a math genius here, but you have two people paying a certain amount. It's more money. Everybody makes in more money, generates more revenue, gets more people to the game, autograph collectors, things like that. I mean, having two manufacturers that have a license is not a bad thing.
Well, I mean, it wasn't the case, but like you said, like Donruss had a licensing. There was I don't remember what was Pinnacle their own brand back in the day.
You know, I'm not sure. I think so. I think there was several manufacturers back in the day. You know, Fleer, Pinnacle,
and I know Fleer, and I know Pinnacle had a license, because I remember, like, you know, collecting some Pinnacle stuff. And Pinnacle's like under some other manufacturer now, right? Is it Panini?
You know,
or is it Upper Deck?
It might be Upper Deck. I'm looking it up right now. Pinnacle Brands, it is Panini America now. Okay. So, it did own the rights to Action Packed, Donruss, Leaf, and Score. So Pinnacle was like the hub of it all.
Nice. Pinnacle actually made some pretty nice cards back in the day.
Yeah, they had Zenith. Remember 1998 Zenith? Upper Deck and Fleer. Upper Deck was trying to buy Pinnacle. So Pinnacle Brands filed bankruptcy in 1998. The assets were purchased by Playoff Incorporation for less than $10 million. Football license, Donruss, names of Elite and Leaf. Playoff applied, but were dead for blah, blah, blah. So then it was all picked up by – so it was all under the same umbrella of Pinnacle, Playoff, all the brands that Panini kind of puts out now.
Yeah.
Was all under that umbrella.
It's a big purchase.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to know what Panini bought all these stuff for. Probably a good little sum. Probably about $20. but yeah. Craziness, money in this industry for sure. It's actually a pretty cool little article on Sports Card Radio called Card Tank, and it's kind of like Shark Tank, you know, the show Shark Tank. And he, Ryan and Colin do a little piece on financial assets and stuff for Topps and Panini, and they kind of talk about why people would want to invest in them.
Nice.
So it's a nice little story, but...
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah, for sure. Getting back to some of the best products of this year for baseball, what do you think had the best value?
Hard to top tier one.
Yeah. Well, depending on the price point.
I'm talking based on the pre-sale price.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like what, $70-$80 or something it was?
Yeah, and if we're talking pre-sale price, museum collection.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Topps Tribute. Topps Tier 1, I think, would probably be the best value because you can get those boxes for about $100 when they first came out.
Yeah.
And then obviously, Topps Chrome, great value. Always a good value. Two autos on a card, a lot of color.
Yeah, I have to agree. Tribute was one of my favorites this year. I mean, it's about $370 a box now, but when it did come out at $250, it was six hits, three autos. The encapsulated hit was a nice touch. Back to innovation, that was I don't know why they did it, but I think it was a good idea. I mean, you save money on top loaders, cards don't ding. It's got the little top seal, so you know people really haven't touched the cards. I wonder if they will. Do you think they're going to bring that back next year?
I don't know. I hope so. I like it. Makes you feel like you got something.
Yeah, and do you think that it's going to be in more sets, or I wonder if they're going to just keep it in Tribute?
Well, a Tribute wasn't the first one to do it. Like I remember it from the 2 years ago. It played some patches. They had the encapsulated hit.
Yeah, and then Razor Letterman.
Razor Letterman. I like it. It does really feel like you got something.
Yeah, for sure. That was a good value.
Plus, I mean, that encapsulated case has got to be worth at least $3.
So even if you get a crappy guy, got the freaking top loader, you know? You take the guy out and put your better card in it. So you're like six top loaders, you know? Six magnetic top loaders.
Yeah, that's like $35 from top loaders.
Seriously. Well, the product that actually went up the most this year was Museum. You just touched upon it, which I think was a beautiful set, but it's up to like, I mean, it's a lot of coin. It's up to like $280, $290 a box now, which it pre-sold, I believe, like $120. So
yeah,
wow. That's a huge jump, and you're going to get four hits. I mean, you get a chance at something really nice, or you got a chance at, you know, $4 or $5 hits. So
crap in my mouth?
You got a chance at crap in your mouth when you open up the pack, just right in your mouth. but you know, that was Museum was probably one of my favorite sets to bust this year. The price point went too high for sure. What would you say would be your Suck Sacks product? How many products do you think Suck Sack this year?
Well, let's see which one. I was not a Heritage fan.
Yeah. I don't think Heritage is for me either, but there is definitely it's a little group of collectors.
I can't touch on Pro Debut, but I could assume I wouldn't have liked it. Limited Baseball was kind of rough.
Yeah, once again, the effects of not having a license.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I got. I say out of all of them, I just really didn't dig Heritage for the value. It was like one hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it could have been just a jersey hit, which a lot of the boxes in the case were.
Yeah, that was rough. And the design didn't really do much for me. I know there's like different variations and like SPs and stuff like that, but Heritage just didn't do it for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It's not my cup of tea. You know, surprisingly, pretty much a lot of the releases this year were pretty good. With football, we had a lot of, you know, kind of up in the air kind of products, but I think Topps did pretty well. Almost every product that came out went up in value. You know, I probably wasn't a huge fan of Allen and Ginter, but once again, that's another niche collector kind of product. It definitely had a lot of buzz, and it definitely, you know, pleased people that are the Ginter niche. You know, Topps Chrome was good. Finest was okay. Finest just seems like for the value, you get only the two hits for an $80, $90 value. I think there's better values out there, but it had Darvish and, you know, guys like that in it, so it definitely had some collectability and some chasers.
It's hard for me to hate on Finest because I love the way it looks.
Yeah.
I think I love the design on it every year. It's kind of the same. It's a formula that they keep. It's like Chrome. Like, they don't really mess with design too much. They had a couple different, you know, this year with like the die cuts and stuff like that, but love the design of that product.
Yeah, and it seemed like die cuts. So speaking of die cuts, it seemed like die cut was like king this year. That
was because of us.
we did profess our you know, man crush on die cuts earlier in like podcast 8, 7, something like that, like years ago, like 10 years ago when we did podcasts. So they finally listened to us, and
you know what I want to see, like a regular card,
just a regular card,
like just a regular, you know, like rectangle card.
Yeah, bring back just the regular kind of cardboard card.
Yeah, no more crazy die cuts. The marriage is over. I still dig the die cut, but
yeah, they do, but it's just Finest, Bowman Chrome, Topps Chrome, Platinum. Everybody had a die cut in it. Every set had a die cut in it this year.
And they were just getting crazier and crazier, like, as the products went along.
Yeah, your mic's like really cutting out. I'm not sure why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It was like digitalized. Now it's fine. But anyways.
Yeah, yours is doing that a little bit too. I think that's just kind of the what we got to deal with.
Yeah, there's maybe they'll make a 2012 Topps die cut. I just call it die cut. And just have autographs, patches, everything's die cut. What do you
Everything.
Think? Everything. Even the pack will be a die cut. Pack,
you know what? You know, now I'm gonna start bringing this. You know what cards like I really like the look of, and I hope they start doing more of them. Would be the acetate.
Yeah, those are sick.
Now every release is gonna have like 18 different acetate cards.
Yeah, I would. Variations. There really was not one in baseball, right? There was only the football products that had acetate.
Yeah, only the football products. And
actually, I take that back. There was some in Tier 1, but we just never got to see them because they're so rare. It was a reprint die cut or a reprint acetate on card, like reprint of like Don Mattingly's rookie card or Ken Griffey's rookie card. But they were like numbered to like 10.
Yeah, that's a killer design.
Yeah, if you see some of them, you're like, man, that's an awesome card to own. But they're really rare. I think they had Chipper Jones. They had guys, you know, some popular guys. I think they had like 10 or 20 subjects. So, I agree with you there. I do like the acetate for sure. It makes it even like just a parallel of it. It seems like you're getting a hit or something. At least for now, because it's such a new kind of. Well, I know it's not a new concept. They did it back in the 80s, but just kind of seems like a new concept to modern cards for sure.
Well, I think it was done in the like the mid to late 90s. I don't think it was in the 80s.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was like score stuff. Score always seemed like the one that they remember. They were one of the first people that had the animated cards. I don't know what they were exactly called, but when you move the card a certain way, you can see the guy hit the ball.
They called like sports flicks or something
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those cards were kind of crazy. Like, I had one, I think it was 89 score or 88 score, where it had 1939, and you moved it a certain way, and it had, like, another, like, fact about it, and they were smaller or something. And it had like facts of baseball facts and stuff.
You know what Panini should bring back in their in one of their baseball releases? They had a Dunross. I think it was probably 87, 88 Dunross. They had a subset called, I think it was called Diamond Kings.
Oh yeah, with the drawings.
With the drawings, and the players had like big heads and small bodies, or like characters.
What are you trying to say about big heads?
Well, you know.
No, I agree with you there. They actually did something for the National where they had Gridiron Kings, and it was kind of along that line, but not exactly there. I think that they are going to bring it back. I think it's going to become – I mean, they brought back Rated Rookie. So
yeah, it was the same era as like the Rated Rookie stuff. So, but I think it was like a subset called Diamond Kings.
Yeah, that would be sweet. And if they get the license back and they actually can like reprint those and then get those signed, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember I had like a Robin Yount.
I think I had a Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, I think they even had Barry and stuff.
They had Barry. They had a Ryan Sandberg.
But yeah, Diamond Kings, sweet looking set. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, Topps did their archives, but there's a lot of other stuff that Panini owns that they could do their own version of archives with Score, and like we talked about Pinnacle. So maybe that'll be done someday when they get their license. That'd be another reason to have the license there.
Yeah, for sure.
What product did you like that was your favorite, like, breaking product? Like, that had the most excitement that you, you know, enjoyed the most?
Triple Threads.
Yeah.
Triple Threads is definitely probably the best. Triple Threads or Tribute. Because, you know, pretty much every box you're going to get something that was going to be decent.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just less base cards, so it's a lot of excitement.
The Triple Threads, like with the book cards and stuff like that. And knowing when you'd open up one of the mini boxes if you had a book card in there, because you can definitely tell.
Yeah, just building up to it. You're like, I know there's something big in here. Yeah, it's like a candy store.
Yeah, Triple Threads was definitely a good time for sure.
Yeah, I know we're on like case 7 of it now. I mean, we're just can't get enough of it. And surprisingly, it hasn't gone up in value. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because they flooded the market with – I mean, the one complaint I do have about Triple Threads is it seems like they devalued the 101.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so many different 101s of each player. There's the Wood, the White Whale, the regular 101. And in some instances, like Jason Hayward, he has the Say Hey Kid one, and then he has like ATL something. So there's like – it's the same kind of card but with a different patch, but they did 3 101s for each one. So there's like 6 different 101s of – Jason Hayward. It's like kind of like, okay, it's not really a 101 then. It's like a 1 of 6 or something. So
yeah, you know, we kind of saw that with the new colors that were added in like the Topps Chrome Football.
Yeah,
and it's just a different way of marketing it. They know that people want the lowered numbers stuff, so they just change it up and make more of it, but make different like subsets of color. So they're adding more value to it, but for the end user, there's actually less value.
Yeah, because I got that Jason Hayward 101 Wood card, and I'm thinking to myself, 350, right? It's a 101. Jason Hayward, it's not a rookie card. He's relatively a collectible player, though. He's on Atlanta. I mean, he had a good year again this year, and they were selling for like 105. Some of them sold for under $90. And it's a 101 autograph 3-color patch. So, and that just goes back to the fact that I think there's so many of them that it's just going to bring down the value of the one that you have.
It's because people make such a big deal about one of one. One of one means value. So yeah. From a manufacturer standpoint, they're like, well, let's just make more 101s. It'll create more buzz. It'll make people more excited to open up the product when technically it's not a 101. It's a 1 of 6. The ones that are true 101s, those bat knobs, those are basically true 101s.
Right.
Even adding all these different colored variations, it kind of takes away from the getting like a super fractor.
Right, right.
Because there's so many different other variations of 101s in every product now.
I still give them credit. The super fractor is still king. I think people don't – I mean, people know printing plates like a $20 card on a good, on a good day. You get it. I mean, unless you get like a Harper printing plate or something, which is maybe a $60 card. People think they get 101s. They're not. I mean, printing plates are cool because it's an extra hit. Yes. But I think that's where they have kept the value is the super fractor is the end all.
That's true. But at least like the, you know.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Do you think we're going to get into a situation?
I mean, what if they, I mean, they did it with, what was the Topps release that had, they had super fractors and then we got a, like a Jeter version of it. It was like a silver.
Canary gold. That's, yeah, they brought that in there too. I mean, which I don't know if there's – I don't think they did that in 2012. I think it was only in 2011.
But again, I mean, they had a product in there that had canary gold 101s and super fractors in it.
Right.
So that – it may not have devalued the super fractor a lot, but it definitely devalued it a little bit at least.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think we're going to get into a situation – I mean, let's face it. 80s and 90s cards failed because there were so many of them made. And that's why there's not any value in those cards. Do you think we're approaching a situation because they keep adding more serial numbered cards where we're going to have the same kind of situation that we had in the 80s and 90s?
I don't think it's around the corner, but I think eventually we're going to be in that same situation.
Because I think that as more people get into this hobby, a perfect example of it was Topps Chrome Football. They knew they had to make so much, so they inserted, like you just said, they inserted a pink, a camouflage, different more color refractors in order to have more like numbered cards. But in now you have an AJ, let's say AJ Jenkins. Well, now he has – you know, 10,000 serial numbered cards are, I mean, it just kind of devalues anything that's serial numbered, in my opinion. So I don't know what they can do because then if you don't have, it's a catch 22 because if they make less, then people are going to have really crappy boxes more often than not. And there's going to be more complaining. So it's really kind of a hard situation for a manufacturer.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to see the mid to lower level products. I think we're going to see those start to devalue in the next couple years. Because they're just going to be coming out with more and more and more. I think the high-end stuff, because it is such a limited print run, is going to hold its value.
Yeah.
And plus, like, if they're making cards, they're making boxes that are $500 a pop, that's not in everybody's price point. Not everybody's going to be running to the card shop or getting into breaks at that price point. So I think those, since it'll be always a limited print run, the high-end stuff should hold its value.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think five-star and triple threads will definitely kind of maintain its value, but they do need to kind of take a step back and realize what they're doing with some of these serial numbered cards and what it
is. Yeah, I think the lower to mid-level products are going to progressively go down in value. It seems like every year there's like a new twist on it where it's different variations and different serial numbers. At the end of the day, like you said, there's one guy may have 1,000 autos. It's hard to, I mean, if you were to add them all up, that's basically what we'd be looking at.
Right. Yeah. So there has to be a little bit more innovation on that. And so,
well, I mean, the thing is that you pinpointed it though. I mean, you make less of it. There's more filler products. There's more filler cards. You get crappy boxes. People complain. People don't buy the next release because they feel like they got screwed on one. So, I mean, I don't know. You got to keep the collector entertained and excited. And unfortunately, what's going to happen is that the cards are going to devalue. But you know, you got to figure, like, are you doing this for the hobby and, you know, just the, you know, just collecting and having fun doing it, or are you doing it because you're trying to make money?
Well, I think making money is kind of out of the window. I mean, it's nice to be able to sell a card. It definitely, this industry right now is the hot hand. I mean, Colin Kaepernick cards right now, boom, everybody's selling them because everybody wants them because he had a good game. So it's like you got to ride the wave of certain guys if you're going to try to make any money in it. And it's definitely.
But there's a lot of people in this industry that really have no desire to collect. It's all about finding somebody and flipping it.
Right.
And it's all about the gamble. It's all about the investment. It's not about the collectability and the hobby. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's kind of just the way it is.
And I'm sure there are people that are smart that are great prospectors and do go all in on one guy and then turn around and make some money on it. I mean, but more often than not, I mean, box breaking, if you just buy boxes and think you're going to make money, obviously that's not going to happen. But there are people that maybe are smart prospectors that know, you know, knew in 2008, 2009 that Trout was going to be amazing, and they bought, you know, 500 Trout autos or something for $20 a pop, and now they made a good amount of money. You know, I don't know. It's definitely hard to call. But what do you think these manufacturers can do in 2013 to make anything better, to innovate anything? You have any ideas of, you know, things that they can do to make things better?
I mean, there's attention to detail in the products. I always say, like, every box should have at least 40% of resale value in it. Like,
yeah.
At least. And again, we get back to the value, because that's what a lot of people are in it for. And that's just the way it is, kind of. But, you know, stabilizing the release dates wouldn't be a bad thing. Level playing ground, like we were saying, for everybody else, like with the promos, but just stabilized release dates would be good.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. I mean, they're definitely one manufacturer than the other. It seems like they push back their stuff a lot more, and they don't really have set release dates. I know there's a lot of factors that factor into getting these products out on time, but stabilized release dates is definitely key. I would like to, and we've talked about this in previous podcasts, I would like to have more dated game use stuff.
Oh, I would love to have. I mean, I'd love to have that stuff. Absolutely. But that's tricky, though. I mean, that's just so much more work for the manufacturer.
Well, they have this Jersey Gate thing that I think it got swept under the rug pretty well, and I think it was. No one knows. There's like, I guess, a time period between 2008 to 2009 where there was a guy that sold jerseys to, I don't know exactly which manufacturers, but he sold them to them at a certain price, and it turns out they're all fake. So those, who knows which cards those went into. So, you know, that, who knows if you have a one-of-one Derek Jeter, could be a fake jersey. There's really no way of telling. Now, if they date the jersey from what game it was used from, kind of feels like it's definitely a little bit more, you know, valuable as a piece. And, you know, maybe you went to that game, you know, maybe he didn't hit a home run that game, but you went to that game, and that makes that card even more collectible.
I've always thought that. I mean, they did it with Timeless Treasures last year.
They did.
Football.
And they were on the right track with it.
Yeah. I thought they did a really good job with that. Product didn't quite deliver as well as I expected it to, but the concept was there.
For sure. It came in tins. Tins were collectible.
Yeah, it may have been the most collectible thing of the product.
The cellophane pack, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they were on the right track, unfortunately. And it may be hard to, you know, if Cam Newton throws 450 yards in a game, he's probably not going to want to give his jersey to Panini. He's probably going to want to either donate to the NFL Hall of Fame or – you know, maybe he wants to keep it. So some of those jerseys are going to be really hard to obtain.
There's a price for everything now.
There is, but then we're going to probably – it's going to come down twofold, and we're going to have to pay for it too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, you know, there's a price for everything.
Yeah. Well, how much would you cost? How much can we buy you? What's your...
$25, a beef steak and cheese and a Red Bull.
It's a bargain.
I know, it's a hell of a deal.
You should put yourself on eBay, dude. See what happens.
$25, beef steak and cheese, a Red Bull, we're good.
Or best offer.
Or best offer, free shipping.
Would you just a beef stick without the cheese?
No.
No, it has to be the combo.
Cheese is the best part. Wait, I may take the cheese without the beef stick. And a rock star, maybe.
Maybe a rock star. The blue or the white?
I've been going white, but have you noticed that, there's three different flavors of Red Bull out right now?
Yeah, I haven't tried any of those yet.
A little promo for Red Bull right now.
Have you tried them?
I haven't tried them, but I know they're three different flavors. And, you know, it kind of pisses me off because the one thing I like about Red Bull is that it's Red Bull flavored Red Bull.
Yeah.
Like, when I want a Red Bull, it tastes like Red Bull. Like, it's Red Bull flavored Red Bull.
Yeah, now, but it is the most expensive, like, energy drink for what you get. That's why I kind of sway away because, like, I can get it.
But it is the best.
It is.
It's the original. It's what I like to call top shelf energy.
It is the Coca-Cola of energy drinks.
Nah, top shelf, dude. It's like the Grey Goose.
I can find it next to the Pepsi. I don't know if that's top shelf for me. Yeah, I mean, I do remember when this new concept of energy drinks came out in, like, what was it, 2000 or something, when we got out of high school.
Speaking of top shelf, have you ever go to like a 7-Eleven or something, and you go up to the freezer that has all the energy drinks in it?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that Rockstar is always on the top, or not Rockstar, but Red Bull is always on top?
That's true.
And then you have like your Rockstar and Monster, and then you have like your NOS at the bottom, or yeah, like or the Mountain Dew one,
or the one I drink, Go Girl.
but literally, like, it has to have something to do with the fact that it's, for most people, it's eye level, and it is the most expensive one.
That's true. I wonder, and are they made? They're their own company, right? They don't.
They're their own company. They're not owned by somebody else.
I think Rockstar is distributed by Coke now, isn't it? Or no? No, I think they're their own company too, right?
No. Full Throttle is Coke.
Yeah, you're right. Pepsi doesn't have one though, huh?
Pepsi doesn't have one.
Well, what about AMP? Is Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew. Yeah, Mountain Dew's Pepsi. So I guess AMP would be considered Pepsi's energy drink.
Yeah, such a big industry that, I mean, remember back in the day, Jolt was kind of the energy drink, I guess, so to speak. And then a Red Bull came out and 50 million other energy drink companies followed suit. So kind of an interesting thing.
Just know, everybody notice that when you go to a convenience store, look at the energy drink freezer, and it's always, the top one is always Red Bull.
Check this out. $10 gift certificate. Anybody tweets us a photo of the Red Bull on the top shelf at their local convenience store. $10 gift certificate. Boom. First one to do it. Twitter, @mojobreak_com. Tweet us the Red Bull. We'll get a good laugh out of it. First person to do so. I bet you no one will do it because we only have like 5 listeners. But first person to do it, we'll get a $10 gift certificate. So we might only have 3 now because we haven't done a podcast so long. You probably forgot about us.
It has been like 2 months, 3 months,
something like that. Yeah. But, we moved into a new space. So breaks are a little more professional. I retired at a ripe age of 30 and, that's kind of what happened in life. And the podcast unfortunately didn't get done, but I love doing it. Sure. You love doing it. You know, it's good times, and now that we can do it through Skype, we don't even have to, like, I'm doing this from bed right now. I'm eating cereal as we're I'm in my underwear.
That's weird. Just kind of weird.
You don't do podcasts on your underwear?
No, I'm getting ready for work.
Oh, wow. I'm going to do I'm starting a spin-off called In My Underwear Chronicles. And it's going to be a podcast just me talking about underwear.
I'm just kidding. just all day. Just sitting there like, This is what I'm going to do now, everybody.
Random thoughts.
Random thoughts in my underwear.
Well, on that note, I'm getting a little silly, so I think it's time to end podcast number 22. But check out mojobreak.com. A lot of stuff coming up. Triple Threads football is coming out. I think we got a few spots left on that. Absolute football, Bowman draft, Bowman Sterling. Anything that's coming out, it's on there, whether it be hockey.
Bowman Sterling is going to be awesome. I mean, that I think they added an extra auto to that, I think, this year.
Yeah, I believe there's three autos. They did away with the relic because they don't have the USA license anymore, so you won't see that anymore. So they added an extra auto, which I'm fine with. So
that's sick.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice little set. So check that out. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the fine folks that downloaded this podcast?
Anything you else?
God, I'm so educated. Yeah,
I'm half asleep still, so it's all good. No, I'm good. I'm good. Tweet that picture of the Red Bull.
Yeah, first person to do that gets that $10 gift certificate, and you can get at our prices, you can get three spots almost for that price.
Almost.
So, and maybe you get the dollar, you go on Black Friday and you use it and you get the dollar spots too. I'd just be just winning, you know.
Like 10 spots for $10.
$10 deal of the day, donkey dick deal. No, just kidding.
Oh, dude. That's an awful way to end it.
We'll edit that out.
But anyways. Deal of the donkey.
Check out mojobreak.com. Use code SAVEMONEY for 10% off. And then check us out on Black Friday, which is in 2 days.
Must now. Be the money.
Save money.
Must be the money.
everybody have a good turkey day. Watch some good football games. And check us out. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all that other stuff. And we're out. Peace.
Later.
Mojobreak.com.